My name is Al Morse, and today we're having a teaching. And this teaching is going to be dealing with the blood of Christ. Now, I would like for you to get your Bibles out and get your pencils and papers out and really get involved with this and study this with me. It's very good for you to write down every passage that I give you. That when you get done, you have a list of books, you know, the passages in the scripture all written down, and you know what it's all about. And this is going to be about the blood of Christ, and this is tremendously important because the blood of Christ isn't something that we just look over, because this is important between it's the difference between heaven and hell for people. Because God pointed to the cross for His salvation, and it was His shed blood that paid for our sins. And so we've got to understand that. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans. To Romans chapter 3, and we're going to start off with 23. And just remember, the topic of this teaching today is the blood of Christ. Romans chapter 3, verses 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." When it means all, that's exactly what it means. Every person in this world has fallen short. We are born sinners. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners, and we're born that way. And God has lost total contact with us because He can't look upon sin. And so He had to do something about that. Ever since Adam had failed, every person that is of Adam has born with a sin nature. And God, it would just so that God can't deal with us anymore, because He can't look upon sin, and He had to do something. And before this world was ever made, God knew this was going to happen, and He had already put together the plan of salvation for the people here. And all He asked them to do is believe it. And so this is tremendously important. Look at verses 24. It says, "But now that being justified," what's justified? Just as if we never sinned. See, freely. You see, no, there's no strings attached to it. If a pastor comes up and tells you for to be saved, you've got to be baptized, or you've got to speak in tongues, or you've got to join a church, or you've got to pay your tithe, or you've got to pray to Mary, or you've got to do anything, that's a lie from hell. Right here, look what it says, being justified freely by what? His grace, see, the grace of God. He's the one that does it. And all He asks us to do is believe it. Look what it says. His grace through the redemption. What's redemption? That's when God buys us back. See, He's buying us back like we were in a pawn shop, and He hawked us when Satan got a hold of us. And the only way He could get us back, He had to pay the price. And what was the price? Christ's death on the cross. He was the final payment for the sin. His death was, see. He was the final sacrifice to pay for the sin debt for you and me. Look what it says. Freely, by His grace, through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Not in you and me. Not what you do, not what I do. It's what Christ did. Now look at verses 25. It says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith." See, it's our faith is what gives us salvation. And faith in what? Look what it said. Boy, people don't like this, but that's what the book says. Faith in His blood. Had nothing to do with what you've done. It's all what He did on the cross. That's the gospel, see. That Christ died for your sins. This is what we believe for salvation. The gospel, and it's in His blood. See, what He did on that cross, He died for our sins. He was buried, and He rose from the dead. And all God asks us to do is to believe that. And to declare His righteousness, not ours, His, for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. What does that mean, forbearance of God? That God accepted it. You see, God accepted it. It's just hard to even comprehend that his son, Jesus Christ, or actually the Son of God, took on a human body. And because he couldn't die beforehand, see, because he was God. And he took this on a human body that he could come down and he could die and be the final sacrifice for sin. And all he asked us to do is to believe it. And that justifies us just by what we look at. Now we're going to turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Just turn the page to the right. Just one more. Just turn it over and you've been looking at Romans 5. And look. Let's look at verses 8. Romans chapter 5, verses 8. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners," see, "Christ died for us." See, he didn't tell you you had to be perfect before he could save you. He didn't tell you to clean up your act. He didn't tell you to quit smoking and quit drinking and quit running around and quit lying and quit cheating and all the sins that we get ourselves involved in. He died while we were yet sinners. He died for us. See? Well, just like you are right now, and all you have to do is acknowledge what he did for you. Verse 9, it says, "Much more than being now justified," see, "by his blood," see, "we shall be saved from wrath through him." What wrath is he talking about? We see God cannot look upon sin, and we're all sinners, see. And we've got the wrath of God upon every person on this earth that hasn't been justified by the blood, see. We're walking dead people until we totally realize that we need a Savior and we are justified by his blood, by our belief in the gospel, see. It's hard, this wrath. And the wrath of God is something. I mean, this is horrible. You see, every person that's walking on this earth, like I said before, is under the wrath of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that if God came back today in the rapture and took the body of Christ out of here, those that were left, they would see the wrath of God, because they're going to go through 7 years of tribulation, and it is horrible. Horrible. Now, a person who dies before this happens, if he hasn't believed, put his faith in the gospel, or been justified by the blood of God, in other words, his death on that cross by belief, see, he's going directly to hell. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is, because God can't look upon you if you're a sinner and your sin hasn't been taken care of if you have not believed the gospel, see. So it's from there to the lake of fire. So the wrath of God is horrible. But you see, we're not involved with the wrath of God. The believers aren't. Just look right here. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1. Just go back just a few pages. And look at verses 7. He's writing this letter to the Roman people, and he only writes to believers. He's writing to believers, see. And it says, Romans chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." See, these folks are saints. Why? Because they believe the gospel. They believe that Christ died for their sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead. And in being that, well, they don't have the wrath of God. Look what it says. Grace to you. What's grace means? Unmerited favor. There's nothing that you've done for it. God's done it all. All you do is believe it. See? Grace to you. And what does it say? And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we have peace with him because we've done what he told us to do. And that's believe the gospel and put our faith in his blood for our salvation. Now, we're going to be talking quite a bit about that today. And it's really interesting. But we have to understand how important it is. Now, give you an idea, we're right here at Romans chapter 1. Turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, and look at verses 16. This is what gives you an idea how horrible it is not to believe the gospel. See, this is in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. And this is Romans chapter 2, 16. Now, when is this day that God is going to judge the secret of men by Jesus Christ? Well, it's the great white throne judgment. That's when God, at a time after the millennium, all the non-believers of the whole world, that from Adam all the way up to the last person on this earth, are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person, who all unbelievers, they're going to stand before, they're going to be judged by Jesus. And what are they going to be judged? What's the criteria of it? What does it say? According to my gospel. This Paul wrote this. Paul's gospel. What is his gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, the most important verse in the Bible. And his gospel states that we are to believe that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose from the dead. When we believe that, that's what we're going to be judged by. You're going to say to those people, did you believe the gospel for your salvation? And obviously they didn't, or they wouldn't do the great white throne judgment, because there's no believers in there. See, only non-believers. So, well, let's go back to back on the blood again. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Our topic is the blood of Christ. Now look at this. Now, Ephesians 1, chapter 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, see, of the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. See, it's just as plain as can be. It's our redemption. We are redeemed from this by God through Christ's death on the cross, through his blood, for the forgiveness of sin according to the scriptures. And by the riches of his grace. What is his grace? Unmerited favor, see? Unmerited favor. Ephesians 2. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's look at verses 13. Well, let's just start at 12. Let's start at 12. Ephesians 2, verses 12. It says, that at that time you were without Christ. See, well, that's how we were before we believed the gospel. We were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. See, we didn't know anything about Israel and their God, which was God the Father, see, and strangers from the covenant. So we had nothing to do with the covenant of promise, and having no hope, and without God in the world. That's how the Gentiles were at this time, and that's how they are today. They have no hope if they're without God, see, if they haven't believed the gospel that he gave to us for salvation. But then it says, but now, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, see, are made nigh, see, by the blood of Christ, see. And the blood of Christ is the finished works of the cross. See, Christ died for our sins. See, for the blood of Christ. And look at verses 16. It says, "And that he might reconcile both unto God into one body by the cross." See, that by his blood, by the cross, that's the gospel. See, having slain the enmity thereby. In other words, he's been able to make us perfect in God's eyes because of what Christ did on that cross for you and me. Let's turn to Colossians. Turn to the Colossians. Keep going to the right and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and let's look at verses 14. Colossians chapter 1. Now, we're talking about the blood of Christ, see? Okay, 14. Chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verses 14. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. even the forgiveness of sin. See, that's why he died, to pay for the sin debt. When God looks at us, after we tell him, we just have to tell the Lord, we believe this gospel. We believe that Christ died for our sins. He shed his blood for us. See? Now, and we're going to see more why that blood is so important. But he did. He shed his blood for us to cover our sins. And when God looks at us, now, after we tell God we believe the gospel, and when he looks at us then, he doesn't see our sin anymore, because they've been paid for it. Totally paid for by Christ on the cross. He paid for your sins. For total forgiveness of sins. And so when he looks at us, it's just, now let me show you what he looks at us and sees. Look at chapter 1. We're in chapter 1. Just turn the page and look at verses 20. It says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross," this is verse 20, chapter 1, Colossians, "having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself." See, "by him," I say, "whether the things in earth or things in heaven." Now look at 21. It says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." See, how do you reconcile us? Through the blood of the cross. See, okay, now look what also 22 says. How do you reconcile us? "In the body of his flesh, through death." See, he died on that cross to pay for your sins, "to present you." Now look at this close. He's going to, because what he did on that cross, he shed his blood and he reconciled us to God. What did he do? "To present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight." Think about that. When God looks at you now because you believe the gospel, he looks at you that you are holy, unblameable. He's not going to stand, you're not going to be there, he's not going to say all the things that you've done wrong. No, it's been paid for, see. Unblameable and unreprovable. He's not going to say, "Well, you should have done this or you should have done that." No, you're unreprovable in his sight. But there's if there on 23. Look what it says. Just like in the gospel, you have to believe the gospel. You can't just say you think you believe it. You have to believe it. And God knows if you do or not. He knows your mind, too. So if you continue in the faith. Now, what's the faith? You know, if you ask 10 pastors or 100 of them, I don't care how many, and you ask them what's faith, and they'll tell you. What they'll tell you? They'll say faith in Jesus and his teachings. Every time, faith in Jesus. And that's not faith. That's not the faith for salvation. Look what it says. If you continue in the faith, what is it? "Grounded and settled and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel." See? It's the gospel. Our faith is in the gospel. That Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead. That's where you put your faith, because Christ is the one that saved you. And you put your hope in not who he is, but what he did. Now look what it said. "Hope in the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherein I, Paul, am made a minister." Does your preacher preach the gospel today? Does he preach it today to you? I tell you, how many times has he said, "Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and I'm going to show you what salvation is"? How many times has he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe"? That's Romans chapter 1:16. See? Has he ever showed you what? Did he ever turn here to Colossians chapter 1 and look and show you just what I showed you in 22 and 23? How that when you believe the gospel, that you become holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight, and all you've got to do is continue in the faith. And what's the faith? It says grounded and settled in the gospel. I never did, and I was in church my whole life. I was over 60 years old before I heard the gospel. They always pointed to Jesus, say, "Just believe in Jesus." That isn't the gospel. It didn't say that at all. It's not the gospel. People have to wake up. Let's take a turn to Hebrews now. Hebrews. Go back to the right. Go through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, then Timothy, and 1st and 2nd Timothy, and then Titus and Philemon, and then Hebrews. Hebrews, and let's look at chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and now we're going to show you exactly what this bud's all about. Let's look at verse 11. It says, "But Christ, being come the high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place." One time. And where is this holy place? This holy place is heaven. Right? When he arose from the dead, when Jesus rose from the dead, he then rises, Jesus. He rose as the Son of God. You see, because you see, the Son of God is old body. That Jesus' body had died, and it was corruptible because it was a human body, you see. But when he rose from the dead, he rose as the Son of God. That's why they didn't recognize him. See, Mary didn't recognize him, looking right in the face. He thought he was a gardener, remember? But when he spoke her name, he realized who she was, and she was going to give him a hug. Remember that? But he said, "Don't touch me. I haven't entered to my Father's place." Well, he had to go there and take his blood to the Holy of Holies in heaven and place it on the mercy seat there. And God accepted it, his blood, to pay the sin debt for the whole world. He was the final sacrifice for sin. For the world, not going to have blood and goats, blood and from bulls and goats anymore. That didn't do anything for sin. It just covered it for a little while, but this did away with it. His blood paid for the sin debt for every person on this world, and all we had to do is believe it. See, that's what he did. So let me read that. His own blood he entered in once to the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We've been totally redeemed, and all we got to do is believe it. And then go on in 13, it says, "For the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifer, and the sprinkling unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Think what God has done for us. See, it's just hard to even comprehend. Now look at verses 22, Hebrews 22, and it says, and almost all things that are by the law, see, were purged with blood. See, all through the law for 2,000 years, they had to bring a sacrifice, a live sacrifice, and it had to be killed, and the blood had to be put on the altar. But Jesus was the final sacrifice. So it says, "And without shedding the blood, there is no remission of sin." Christ had to die to pay for our sin debt. That was how God dealt with sin. And all he asked us to do is believe it. And so look at chapter 10. Look at chapter 10, verses 4. Hebrews 10:4, it says, "For it is impossible, not possible, that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin." It had to be the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid for the sin debt for you and me. Let's turn in our Bibles to Peter. Just keep on going to the right. You're going to go through James and then Peter, and look at Peter chapter 1. And look what it says in verse 18. It says, "For as much." Verse 18. Excuse me, I get going too fast. Peter chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "For as much as you know that you have not been redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, and from your vain conservation or receiving by traditions of your fathers." See, we have been redeemed, what to say, by 19, with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, he's the only one that could do it. We were lost in our sins, and he's the only one that could pay the sin debt, because he was the only perfect person. See, He was born of a virgin. He had to be, because if he had been born a man, he would have been born with sin, and he couldn't have had sin in him to pay the sin debt. See, that's why God had to give him a body that wasn't of man, because man had sin. Jesus didn't. There was no man that ever walked on this earth that wasn't a sinner, except Christ. He was a perfect person. He was in a picture. See, they killing the bulls and the goats, they had to be perfect as far as they knew how. You see, they couldn't be crippled. They had to be perfect. And so Christ had to be perfect. And the only way he could do it, he had to be of God. He could not be of man, because man passes the sin nature down, see. And he had to raise from the dead, because if he hadn't raised him from the dead, we'd still be in our sin. He'd just been another dead Jew, see. But he wasn't. God raised him from the dead, see. And when he raised him from the dead, he raised us also. Because we believe that when Christ died on that cross, that old sin nature that we were born with, we believe it was nailed to the cross too. And when it was buried, we believe that it was buried also. See? And in doing so, when he rose from the dead, we also rose from the dead. And now we are a new creation in Christ. See? Old things have passed away, and all things will become new because of what Jesus did on that cross. Had nothing to do with what we did. Nothing to do at all. In Romans 1:16, Christ says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. Didn't say believe and be baptized or believe and join a church. It just said believe. We put our trust in the gospel for our salvation. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this time to go over the blood of Christ. We pray that people would wake up and understand how important his shed blood was for us, and that he died for our salvation. And we pray that everybody will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus through the gospel. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.